Hey, this is Shamira Young. Bonus episode alert. Today's episode is a bonus for you all and features Jamal Olukin. He has an extremely well-trained eye for reviewing professional photos, and he has some awesome advice for photographers trying to go pro. He's the founder and managing editor of the popular Papercut magazine that's at papercutmag.com, and he's constantly interacting with photographers from all around the globe, so he's got some super valuable things to say. Also, he's launching a site called review.me, that's R-E-V-E-U.me. The site essentially connects aspiring photographers with leading industry experts so that you can receive professional feedback and career advice. Now, at the time of this recording, they already have experts in the triple digits that you can reach out to. This includes, but is not limited to, publication editors and directors from some pretty big name magazines, celebrity photographers, and more. So yeah, this is going to be good. Let's get to the episode. This is Shamira Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/free-business-bundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/free-business-bundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey everybody, I'm here with Jamal Olukin from Review Me, a new platform that enables aspiring photographers to receive professional feedback and career guidance from top-notch professionals in the industry anytime, anywhere. Jamal, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you know, just a little feedback or a little background information for our listeners. Jamal first contacted me the end of 2015. So at the time of this recording, it's January 2016. And it took a little bit of time for us to coordinate our schedules. And I was actually moving and so forth and so on. It's been crazy. So the holidays are over. And this is my first interview of 2016. I'm glad we were able to make this happen.
Yeah, I'm glad you have me on. This is exciting.
Yeah, and you know, I was intrigued. I will admit it. I was intrigued by your email when you started telling me about Review Me. And, you know, we're going to get into that platform. But first, give us an overview of yourself. I really want our listeners to get to know you, your background, and just how you're involved in the creative world of photography.
Yeah, that's great. Definitely, we'll give you a quick little spiel about myself. I've kind of always been a jack of all trades, so to speak. In school, I was doing music and video stuff, and then after that, I was doing PR and then event production, followed by blogging at a tech blog and then business development at a tech site. So I've kind of always been into art and technology, and so now I'm kind of getting to put them both together. And kind of one of the areas that I've always been intrigued in is just kind of always media. So about 6 years ago, me and some friends started a magazine called Papercut. Mm-hmm. We cover emerging fashion photographers and musicians. Like, we had Macklemore on our cover, for example, and fashion designers and filmmakers, etc. And through that experience of just getting the word out there, we've just met some amazing photographers and got to feature them. And some of these photographers are now household names, which is crazy because back when they were just trying to get out there, names like Lindsay Adler, who's now a Canon Explorer of Light, mm-hmm. Another friend of mine, An Lee, who is now shooting just for I think I saw Bottega Veneta on his website recently. I saw Sarah Jessica Parker. He's now shooting. It's just crazy. Also, a really, really good friend of mine, Alvin Nguyen. He's now shooting great campaigns and for magazines like Treat, as well as Ruby Rose from Orange is the New Black. So all these photographers over the last 4 to 5 years, I've got to see, you know, how they've started, you know, very humble, just, again, trying to get their word out there. Many of them submitting to us for the first time and, you know, seeing their careers grow and their skills increase and just kind of being a part of that process and featuring all of their work numerous times. In some cases, a bunch with Alvin, at least like 20 times almost featuring his work, because we actually, he's almost like the sixth member of Papercut, so to speak.
Very cool. You know, this is interesting because it sounds like a lot of what you do involves curation as far as looking through images. And it sounds like you'd have a sharp eye as far as the photography that comes across your desk. You know, have you done photography yourself? Or I guess, how did you land on photography as an interest for, I think it was Papercut, you said, right? Your magazine?
Yeah. So, I mean, early on, we wanted to be a kind of emerging arts site and media company. And a big part of that is photography and images. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were catering to fashion at the time because our editor-in-chief at the time, she had a background in fashion, and me and some friends were also, me and another partner who's now a partner with me on Review Me, we were also creating another kind of fashion marketplace at the time, and so fashion was kind of a big thing that we were interested in, and obviously a huge part of fashion is the photography, mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously hair and makeup and styling, just all these different things. But the photography is kind of the underlying factor. So we just started reaching out to photographers that we liked and getting good editorials in and going through a bunch of them. And that just kind of trickled up. And now we just have all these photographers that submit us work. And we've now expanded into portraiture and fine art photography, et cetera. But that was kind of the start of it, was just from fashion and from the images that are just inherent in showing off fashion design and fashion clothing.
Yeah, I'm looking at papercutmag.com right now, actually. And there is, this work is, it's awesome. It looks like a treasure trove as far as the photography, but also the other, the music stuff too. Very, very cool.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, we feature music and art. So there's just a wide bevy of stuff. But in terms of photography and what got us, you know, hooked on to that, it was definitely kind of through fashion and, you know, fashion photography being just a huge piece of just the fashion industry, because that's how people see the clothes on blogs and in magazines and advertisements and billboards. You know, the photography is everything when it comes to fashion.
Yeah, yeah, heck yeah. Now, talk about how, or I'm curious, how did you review.me? How did that idea, I guess, come about? And yeah, like, what made you want to create a site that would offer services like portfolio reviews and really connecting the aspiring photographers with the seasoned professionals?
So that came directly just out of the day-to-day of doing Papercut. We get so many submissions. In fact, a couple of years ago, we built a submissions platform just to ingest all the submissions we have. So you can go on as an artist, if you want to submit to us and create an account and then upload your music or your film or your fashion photography or what have you. And we get hundreds of submissions. In fact, we have a backlog of like 700 right now that someone needs to go through. It's probably going to be me. Someone needs to go through. And so, you know, we were noticing that, A, we don't get back to people in time. I mean, in some cases, it can be 2 months before we can respond just with doing things. And B, when we do respond, we at least give the courtesy of the way our system works is that it automatically will shoot out an email to the people and say, hey, sorry, you know, you can make it, better, try next time. Mm-hmm. But for many people, we knew that usually people just don't hear back ever. And they're just like, oh, you know, why didn't I get into your magazine? Is my work not good enough? What are you guys looking for? And we get some of that stuff through email too. So we were like, you know, we don't feature a lot of this work because we just physically can't. You know, maybe we can feature 1% of it on the website and in the issues that we print. But we're like, you know, is there more we can do to help these photographers get better? Because that's obviously, they're trying to get featured in the magazine to rise up the ranks and, you know, continue to increase their skills and network and get their name out there. So, you know, can we help more than just featuring a couple people's, you know, work every now and then? And that was kind of like, okay, we have all these submissions. Maybe we can start a platform from this idea.
That's cool. And a lot of times that is when some of the greatest products are created, or new platforms, is when it arises out of a previous need, you know, or an itch that you have to scratch. Now, I gave just a quick rundown of what review.me does. And for our listeners, by the way, that's REVEU.ME, review.me. But could you just give us kind of, I guess, expound on the user experience and the services that it provides, as far as when a person goes to the site, you know, what do they need to do? And I guess, what problem is the site solving for photographers out there?
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, what it's trying to solve, so, you know, we view it as a platform where you can learn and connect and seek advice from experts in the industry. And, you know, what that means in process and functionality is that you go to our platform, you create an account, you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, what you're looking for, who are your idols, so to speak. So we ask questions like, you know, who are three people you look up to? We also ask, what are you looking to do in the next 6 months? Where are your problem areas? And we use that data to, you know, help you in your search to connect with different people. So some of the questions might be, you know, we give you a list and it might be, oh, I'm looking to get published in magazines, or, oh, I'm just looking to improve generally. Some people say, I'm looking to find an agent. So, and from these kind of questions, we then have a list of experts currently totaling over 125 in different areas of photography. And in this case, we kind of have three different areas we have to call them. We kind of call them the practitioners or artists, with people who are actually photographers themselves. We also have the kind of the curators or editors, who it's their job to put together photography work and feature it and cover it. And then we have what we call buyers, where these are people who, like an agent or a creative buyer, who, you know, buys ads and could potentially give you a gig or help you, you know, get paid. So kind of the three different areas we call it, you know, get better, get published, get paid, is kind of the three things that we feel like every artist at some point in their trajectory is trying to hit. Sometimes people try to do all three. It's unlikely, but those are kind of the three areas that we're looking to hit. So you can go through our platform. You have all these experts at your available. You search through, and let's say you are just trying to land an agent. Okay, well, we have 30 agents on the platform from all over the world. And what better way to understand if you're ready to get an agent or land an agent would be to talk to an agent. So you could set up a video chat with an agent on our platform, or you could get your portfolio reviewed by an agent. And of course, this is a paid service, so the fees are set by the experts, whatever they value, they decide that their time is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's usually for portfolio review, for example, it's pretty industry standard at about like $50 is usually what you see at these different in-person portfolio review sites. So we're just kind of taking that process that people do naturally at the same price points and bringing it online, but also doing some cool stuff there.
And you actually answered my question before I even asked it. I like that psychicness. I was going to ask how many experts there are on the site. You said 125, correct?
Yeah, and growing. We have to keep adding them. It just takes time to add them, because right now we're curating, but eventually we're going to open it up with different techniques and influencer programs to get it out there. But yeah, we have senior photo editor of National Geographic and the creative director of GQ UK. We have Lindsay Adler on here, Alvin Nguyen's on here. Like I said, 30 photography agents from some of the bigger agencies like Walter Schupfer, just like really people who you probably want to connect with. And they're right there, and you just click a button and you can talk with them or get your work reviewed for them or just ask them a question. And we're constantly coming up with new ideas to kind of make it happen.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the basic process of the site. You go on, you look for somebody, and you can connect. And then, you know, how you want to do that is where we're trying to fine tune the experience to really, because we think a lot of the things we're all trying to solve is a lot of people just don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're trying to attack next with the platform. So we kind of have the basic dynamics there. Now we're trying to help you move. Even if you think you know where you're going, we want to actually help you get there.
So as far as people not knowing what they should do next, are you referring to after they've spoken to one of the photographers or agents and had their work reviewed?
Yes, but also more importantly, just kind of beforehand.
Okay.
So I think a lot of times people, and you know, we'll hear from users, one of the things that we're trying to attack with this platform is just not really knowing. And kind of a good example is we've heard from a number of different users who, you know, we say, "What are you currently doing now?" So we ask them a question like, "How are you? How did you learn your skills?" And they'll say, "Oh, well, I went to a workshop," or "Oh, I watch Creative Live or Linda or something like that," but they're still like, "I'm still just not sure where to go or what to do."
I see.
Because
okay.
What you know, we're noticing, and it's a kind of a function of online education, and it's kind of they help you amass skills, but to transition into a career or you know continue to push forward in your passion and your pursuits, we think that getting the feedback helps you get there faster. Because you can learn a skill, but learning the skill isn't going to necessarily, say, help you get on the cover of National Geographic. Mm-hmm. Feedback and connections are what's going to help you, you know, land that. So we think that we're trying to fill kind of a void that happens where you learn these skills, and then now what? So we're trying to step in and be the now what to say, hey, okay, well, you just learned this. So you do want to be a travel photographer. That's great. Maybe you should talk with a top travel photographer or somebody who publishes, you know, like National Geographic, the top one. That would, if you get feedback from them, chances are it'll give you a good indication as to, you know, where you are with your skill set.
Excellent. Yeah. I get what you're saying, because there's so much information out there. And I mean, sometimes I even find it frustrating. I mean, I love taking online courses and I teach online courses. But I mean, at some point, I think you can get paralyzed by, you know, all of the constant learning that you can do. But as far as taking that next step into action, sometimes it can be difficult knowing where to go with that. And so I definitely see how your site could really help solve that problem. I'm browsing through the professionals right now or the experts. And I mean, I'm seeing photography agents, I'm seeing producers, chief editors from international magazines. I mean, the prospect of having these people, you know, just a click of a mouse away is kind of, it's pretty cool. It's kind of mind blowing, actually, just because, I mean, everyone here does top notch work just looking at, because they have photos with, I guess, linking to every person. There's an image, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, so we tried to, it's photography, so we try to make it visual.
Yeah.
We're still working on some features to even make it more visual. But yeah, it just makes sense to kind of show their work. And yeah, so that's kind of really what we're trying to do. And just from, you know, speaking with photographers and seeing how people operate and what they're missing is what we're just trying to hit. So we think one of the best ways is to just learn from you know, somebody else who's done it before. And you know, photographers like Annie Leibovitz, she went to college for this kind of stuff and you know, learned from a professor. There's a reason she did that, because there's no better way than to just talk with somebody who knows what they're doing, and then you jump off that and you know, take it to where you need to go.
I want her on the show, by the way.
Yeah, don't be. I'd like to have her as an expert.
Just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
If you're listening. So yeah. Okay. So you mentioned three phases or three phrases, and you mentioned it. I should have written it down. I saw it on the site. The last one was get paid. What were the two before? Reviewed.
Yeah. So early on we kind of, and I actually do music myself. Not right now, because I'm busy doing this platform and paper cut and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just as an artist, as a fellow artist, there's definitely kind of three things in your head that you're always trying to achieve, you know, if you really are passionate about it, is definitely just to constantly improve experiment, tried new techniques, learned new songs, covers, try new instruments, new software, etc. Just kind of improve. And then from there, you start creating work. And so, you know, you're constantly improving, you're getting better. And then from there, you start creating work. And then maybe you finally get the courage to start putting it out there and getting it published, or publishing on your blog, or, you know, whatever, whether it's publishing on your own blog or somewhere else. And then so it's like, okay, now I want other people to hear this. So you start putting it out to magazines and blogs and different things to see if somebody else will pick this up. So that's kind of, you know, the get published part. And then after that, it's like, okay, I've got published, I got some notoriety, you know, oh, I do want to do this full time, I think, or at least that's the next phase. And so now it's get paid. So those are kind of the three, you know, get better, get published, get paid is kind of the trajectory that we've just seen all photographers especially just kind of go on. And those are even all the names I've mentioned before, Lindsay Adler, et cetera. It was improving her work. Then she got published in Us and a bunch of other people. Now she's getting paid the big bucks and sponsored by Canon and all that good stuff. So that's kind of the trajectory that you know, we hope to tackle in different areas with the platform.
Nice. And are you seeing those results as far as, well, I know my listeners, you know, as soon as you say get paid, I know their ears are perking up because they want to monetize, or some of them are monetizing their talent, but want to further monetize, you know, their photo talent. And so as far as the getting paid part, are you seeing numbers then of users on the platform then step out and get paid in some way as far as, you know, landing gigs?
Yeah, so it's definitely still early. We're getting a ton of users. I mean, so in terms of hitting those key metrics and key success stories, we're seeing some of those slowly start to take shape. It's gonna, I guess, take time. For instance, maybe somebody got an agent, and then it's like, okay, next would be them, you know, starting to get gigs. So we're kind of seeing some of these trend pieces happen. Or we saw somebody come on the platform, get some ideas, and then they got their first magazine cover with an indie mag. So we're definitely seeing some of these kind of key points just now starting to happen, considering we've only been open for about 2 months.
Wow.
So it's still, yeah, it's still pretty fresh and early. But yeah, we definitely anticipate seeing a lot more of these success stories, as we call them, once we're really, you know, in a groove and getting people out there. And obviously something like this, it's not like you will become a success overnight.
Right.
So similar to our platform, but we do think, you know, over after a couple months that we'll start to see some of these things happen based on where people are in their career. Obviously, if you're just trying to get better and you haven't even got published yet, chances are you landing gigs. While it's not impossible, it's, you know, you kind of have to go through the phases. And it depends on what kind of photography you do, right? If you're a wedding photographer, for example, then you don't need to get published. All you have to do is just network and you know, get out there with marketing. And understand where your target market is, versus if you're trying to do advertising or something like that, or shoot lookbooks or something, then yeah, chances are you may need to get the eyes of somebody else to kind of give you legitimacy. So it depends.
Well, it's quite impressive that you guys have only been live for a couple months, just because you have quite a few experts lined up. And I mean, I'm seeing celebrities' faces, you know, that they photographed. Pharrell, for example. Ewan McGregor, you know, we have a photographer who shot him, you know.
And it's, yeah, he's actually based in Paris. He's really good.
It's crazy. It's crazy. yeah, and you know, the point about how it's not automatic that you would necessarily get a gig. I think that's with anything, though. I mean, it's up to us as photographers and creatives to take action, you know? And I think that as far as making connections and getting your work reviewed by a professional pair of eyes, I think that ReviewMe has huge value in that. But after you go through that process, you do have to take it upon yourself. You know what I mean? To take the step towards getting an agent, or if you want to get on magazine covers, you know, taking it step by step, taking action. It does nothing ever automatically happens. You know, it's never get rich quick. This will just automatically transform your business overnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so there's and I think to add on top of that, in addition to, you know, take action, I would even say consistent action.
Mm-hmm.
We ask a question, and we haven't really used it greatly yet in terms of it, utilizing it for in terms of the algorithm and things like that. But we ask users, how often do you shoot?
Mm-hmm.
And we say like every day, every few weeks, once a week, every few times. And I want to say the average is like once a week or maybe a few times a week. And I think that's kind of telling. And then some people will go on and say, oh, but I want to get paid. But I'm like, you don't do this every day. But, you know, you only do this once a week or a few times, but yet you want to get paid. And I think that's there's kind of, in terms of taking action and keeping consistent, it's like you have to, the people who are doing this full time, they do it full time. It's not just like a little side hobby. You have to put in the work, put in the hustle, and, you know, constantly improve and get out there and network and email people and do all that kind of stuff. So if you're only doing it every few days here and there, you can't really expect that same kind of end result as other people who are doing it full time.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, actually. And I also think it's important that photographers really evaluate if they want to be part-time or full-time. I mean, our listeners right now, we have a healthy mix of some who are part-time and some who are full-time and, you know, some who are wanting to go from part-time to full-time and make that leap.
Yeah.
I have to ask this question. And actually, this is one of the questions that I always ask the photographers that I have on the show. But you especially have looked through, I don't know, thousands upon thousands of photos at this point. So just in your opinion, what makes a great photo stand out from the crowd?
Yeah, that's always a good question. I think for me, it's always just something that immediately grabs me. Something, I always like to use this word, believability, mostly because I studied video in school. And I think, and this is probably especially coming from a little bit of that fashion, that angle perspective too, but, you know, it's all about like capturing a moment and grabbing somebody's attention. And when it comes to fashion photography specifically, there's all these moving elements and it's almost like a lie. It's fake, but your goal is to make us believe it. Like film, like, you know, I went to go see Star Wars. There's no such thing as a TIE fighter and a lightsaber, but they sell it with the photoshopping and the acting and looks and the camera and the lighting. They do the costumes. They do all this stuff to sell it each frame, each scene. And I think you have to do the same thing in your photography to make the users believe what, you know, what's really happening, especially, you know, obviously when it comes to fashion. And then even just kind of general photography, whether it be portraiture, you know, I like stuff that is natural, authentic. I hate things that are forced. And as a photographer, you're kind of the director. And depending on who you're working with, whether it's portraiture or even wedding stuff, your goal is to, you know, get the subjects to loosen up, to be themselves, so that you're capturing a moment. So it's not really so much that you're taking a shot, but it's more like things are happening without you regardless. You just happened to pull your camera out, click the button, and you got that moment. That's what it needs to feel like. Did it happen like that? Probably not. You said do this, but like when it has to look and feel like that. And I think that's kind of what I'm always looking for, just that kind of authentic believability in an image that's striking and captures my attention.
Well said. Well said.
If that makes any sense.
You know, actually, yeah, that was extremely articulate the way you put that. And I know for me, it just had me reflecting on when I do portraits, I like to go for what I call the in-between moments, which are, you know, I'll tell someone to do something. And it's great with couples, especially if I'm working with a couple people at one time. And, you know, I'll tell one person to do something and they'll do it and then they feel goofy and they both laugh at each other. And then that moment right there is the moment to get, you know, when they're just being themselves, you know, laughing, having a good time, for example. Yeah, it has a feeling of authenticity that I think viewers are able to pick up on. You know, you mentioned if something looks fake or forced. People see so many images these days, just the regular viewer, that they're able to tell when something is like you're not pulling it off, you know, or it's not authentic enough.
Yeah, and for anything you put in a magazine, and it could be any type of magazine, it could be like a Wired, or like we have somebody from Wired, the photo editor from Wired's on the platform, where it's clearly staged, right? They're like bringing in people to pose for stories on companies and technology and all that kind of stuff. And clearly it's fake and there's all these props and stuff, but they pull it off in such a way that even though it's crazy because it's wired, it still feels natural and authentic. So I think, you know, it doesn't have to be fashion. It could just be crazy portraiture. But I think the images that work is when you know it's crazy, but you still believe it. And you're like, yeah, that totally happened when it didn't. There's no, but like when you say that, I guess when you don't question the image is when it works.
Yeah. Very cool. And I, you know, I think for any photographer who wants to be successful, you have to know how to produce a great photo, a great image that'll stand out from the crowd. But I also think there's another component to it as far as running their photography business. And so yeah. I want to ask you then, what have you found to be the most effective techniques that you see photographers doing as far as getting new assignments, projects, and making new connections?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can directly speak to all the photographers that I've watched kind of start from when, you know, one person actually slept on my bed like 4 years ago, just like when you stayed in New York with me, you know, watching that to seeing them like buy cars now and book like, you know, six figure jobs with his team, which is insane.
Nice.
I think it all starts with determination and passion. That tends to sound cliche, but like that's like all these people that I know, Lindsay, Laura Jade, Dixie, like all these people, they just really, really, truly do love photography. And whether they would be doing it full time or not, they're constantly shooting because they love it. I think that definitely helps because it's going to be tough. You're going to get rejected. You're going to reach out to people to get published or gigs or anything like that. And they're going to say no. And I think that is like the first step. And then once you know, you're like, okay, I definitely want to do this, and you're in it. Then in terms of from the, you know, business perspective, you know, like any business, it's all about positioning and marketing and branding. So all these photographers too, they made a conscious decision early on to be like, okay, well, I'm only doing fashion, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. And then once you kind of say that and you focus on that, one, you'll start getting better because you'll focus more. But two, you'll have a specific audience to go after, or at least a general pathway. So, you know, for people who want to do fashion photography, you know, like, okay, well, I know that I'm going to have to get published a bunch of times and, you know, work with models, and I have to reach out to modeling agencies, and I have to do test shoots. So there's like a little bit of a path that starts emerging versus if you're like, oh, well, I'm going to do wedding and portraiture and this and beauty, and like, you can do it. It's possible, but it's going to be a lot more difficult. So definitely having focus. And then what that also does too is it allows you to market better. So then, you know, so let's say you're only doing fashion, and then you tend to do like more of a Abercrombie like look where it's more natural or something like that. Then it's like, okay, you at least know that when people go to your website, and if they want that high gloss stuff, they're not going to find it. But the people who do want that kind of natural soft look, when they go to your website, they're like, oh, he does this. This is exactly what I want. Boom. Let me book this guy. So I think having your positioning and your branding set in terms of your style is huge. And, you know, now all these photographers that I'm seeing, you know, you're like, yeah, that's their work. Yeah, it's always his work. I think that just a lot of people like don't want to do that. They want to try a bunch of different things and they think they're being pigeonholed. But it's actually very freeing to just be like, yeah, I do this. And then other people who like that will find mm-hmm. you. And you could find them too, because you at least know what you're trying to go after. And so, you know, some good examples are just like simple business techniques that I can quickly put out there is in terms of finding somebody's email, that's super easy, actually. Every company, business, or whatever has what's called the email schema, where it's either like their first name at this or first name dot last name. There's only like five or six of them. So if you wanted to be bold, you could just put all different schemas in your email, and then you know one is going to work. So there's definitely ways to be crafty and contact any person. I once saw, actually, it was a review on the platform, and the photographer was trying to go back and forth between should they do, like, he does really great building work, but he, in terms of architecture and landscapes, but he also kind of likes portraiture and people. So one of the experts was like, hey, well, why don't you reach out to companies that need that type of service, and then, you know, just maybe do one for free to show them that you have the skills, and then, you know, maybe the next time around they'll hook you up, you know, for a paid gig. And we've seen people do that, and that can be very successful. It's like showing them you can do it on spec can be a great way to kind of land paying gigs. So yeah, those are kind of just some of the tricks that I've kind of seen, is just having the passion, getting your positioning right, focusing, branding yourself with a certain style. And then once you land that style, then you expand. You know, again, Annie Leibovitz is a perfect example. She shoots everything. She shoots the royal family and she shoots Vogue. It's like, it doesn't matter, but she started somewhere, and that somewhere was shooting musical acts for Rolling Stone. It's very specific. Music. People on tour, that's it. That's very specific. It's really specific, actually. And she got known for that. And, you know, nothing succeeds like success.
Right.
So even if you shoot wedding, then just get really good at it so that you can make money. And then you can go off and do, you know, other stuff on your free time and start experimenting and playing around once you kind of locked something down. But it's definitely tough. And we've seen it too, just even with Review Me, where we were like, oh, should, you know, I do music. I was like, oh, let's do music and let's do this. And I was like, no, let's do photography. So it definitely just helps to lock in. So I would say definitely focus is just a super important business goal.
Well, I like that you make the point that it's recommended that photographers focus and specialize early on and then expand. You have that option of expanding later. I know it can be somewhat painful to turn down gigs, you know? I mean, I've experienced this myself as well in narrowing down the type of photography that I do, where, you know, someone comes to me with a job and I'm seeing dollar signs like, oh, this is going to be a good paying gig, but I'm trying to focus. And I mean, it's definitely worked in my favor long term. You know, in the short term, it was a little bit painful. And then eventually I got to the point where, knowing that me turning down a gig and maybe referring it to another photographer was actually helping to grow my business in the long term, because I have more focus with the body of work that I'm putting out and the people that I'm connecting with. So I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I do think it's tempting when you're first starting out, especially, to take anything and everything that comes at you as you're. And I, you know, there's nothing wrong with building your portfolio, but eventually having some type of plan is important.
Yeah, and I also think that. You know, you have to be somewhat practical. Obviously, if rent is due,
right,
and this one gig will help you pay your rent, then yes, you could. You should probably do that gig. But it just comes from the people who are going to hire you, regardless of what they're doing. And I'll just go back to wedding, because that's a good example. If and this obviously depends, but let's say you shoot landscape photography and animals and all this stuff. Yeah, five links, and then weddings like at the end. And all this person wants to do is find your wedding photography. Then, you know, it's just like creating more friction for her to get to see what she needs to see, that bride to see what she needs to see. So, you know, maybe it would be easier to just have a separate website for her at least, or put her Pinterest page. So that's all about that focus. So, you know, the people who are going to check you out, it could be ad agencies, magazine editors, their time is limited. They're getting inundated. Even going back to the bride, her head's racing a million miles a second. You know, chances are she probably would just like a referral, because why? People don't have time to think. So if they have to think for a second and go, oh, wait, is he, what kind of, I don't get it. He does all this stuff. She does all this stuff. They're probably going to be like, no, I don't have time for that. So at least if you focus, they go to your website and they can go, oh, look, this is exactly what I want. Now, do I want it? Yes or no? They move on. It's counterintuitive to be like, no, I'm going to limit everything, but it actually helps you, because people can make a decision quickly. And, you know, there's no better example of that than Apple versus, say, Samsung. Apple just makes like four products. That's it. But they're the biggest company ever, versus like Samsung, which makes everything. Ships, they make actual like tankers in the, like, they do that, car batteries, like, you name it, they make it. But when you can focus and people just go, okay, I want a computer, I don't, done. But you go to Samsung, it's like, oh, I want a computer, oh no, I want this. It's just like, our minds don't work like that. People say they love choice, but in actuality, they really just want choice among a couple different options.
No, that's so true. Even going grocery shopping, it's I'm always going down the aisles and I'll turn to my husband and I'll say, we have too many choices in this country. I just want some cereal, you know. So very good point. Very good point, Jamal. You know, next, tell us, what's the most common mistake that you see aspiring photographers make?
So, I mean, I definitely just touched upon the focus piece. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a huge one. But beyond that, since I've talked about it, is just not knowing the audience. Mm. Especially if you're trying to reach out. So if you're trying to get a gig, some people, and we see it all the time, they just blast paper cut with anything. And it's like, we don't even feature that. Or that clearly doesn't look like what we do. Or there's just like, they're just not kind of paying attention. You know, they're tone deaf, so to speak. It's just, you know, look over the site, figure out what this person likes, and try to, you know, create your pitch to match, because it's only going to help. Mm-hmm. Also, too, I think, not to say that it's bad, like cold calling or cold emailing or anything like that, but definitely you're going to increase your success of connecting with somebody if it is through a referral.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's like, oh, like the person will at least be doing the referring person a favor at the very least, so they'll you know, connect with you. So it definitely helps to, if you would like to increase your chances of getting seen or featured, is to have some kind of connection in some way, shape, or form. Even if it's at least to be like, start the, you know, email off with, hey, oh, I love so-and-so's post you did last week. It was cool. And then this is why I think my images will be great. Because it means you're paying attention. And we see that all the time, too. It's like, we didn't even do that. That like, oh, this is a good one. We'll see people who will blast email like everybody. So we'll get an email and they'll be like, hey, this is my new editorial. But it'll have, he CC'd everybody instead of BCCing everybody.
No.
So like 50 emails of all these magazines, like Paper, Numero, like, oh, man.
Come on.
That happens quite often, actually.
Well, you know, I have a funny story, too. I was working at a magazine, a motorcycle magazine, as a photographer and an editor. And what's funny is we talked a lot in the magazine about the term Iron Horse, kind of referring to their motorcycle, their custom motorcycle. And so I would get emails in from photographers who wanted to be in the magazine. It's still a printed magazine, actually. And so one day I opened my email and there's a photo of a horse, like the animal in a barn. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, if you took one look at the magazine cover, it's motorcycles and iron everywhere. And you send me a barn animal? Like,
one quick look.
Yeah.
2 seconds.
Yeah. So we had a good laugh. And what's funny is I got more than one, actually. The person mailed me back again. And advertisers have made that mistake as well, wanting to get into the magazine. Like, no, we're not. No. Animals, no.
Yeah, so and it's funny because those things are really simple.
Yeah,
just like pay attention to what, you know, who the audience is. In some cases, it can be more consumer if you're, you know, a business who shoots portraits for families or anything like that. In other cases, your target is a decision maker, like an editor or an agent or an art buyer for a brand or an advertising agency. So you really have to pay attention to who your end customer is. And a lot of people make the mistake of like wanting to blast everybody and just go crazy, but you'll probably have more success if you pick 5 or 10, really do your homework, and then really try to make that good pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80-20 rule anyway, so chances are, even if you did reach to 100 people and you got featured by all of them, only, you know, 20% are going to be worth 80% of your exposure or your work or whatever it is. So you might as well just go for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they can tell, you know, if you haven't put the effort into it. you know, if you're just sending them a generic email, they can see right through it in a moment.
Exactly. Another thing too that I think is that I this is a bunch of things, but I think not paying attention to your social brand, I feel like a lot of people are kind of neglecting their kind of social push and kind of going, oh no, well I'm an artist and no, and but I'm hearing stories now of Apple will peruse Instagram and be like, oh look, I like this, and hire that person on more than one occasion.
Wow.
So, you know, I think social has become a huge cue, and it's almost like self-reinforcing. So it's like if an agency had to choose between you and someone else who has a similar style, but you have 60,000 members and, you know, followers, and they have 600, you know, chances are the 60K person will get that gig because there's just a lot that comes with that 60,000. It means, oh, a lot of people like what this guy says. They love his vision. They love this, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. So, you know, doing, you know, being, if you're starting out, especially think of your brand early on. And again, that goes back to all the stuff of focus and all this, because then it makes it easier. Then you're like, okay, on my Instagram feed, I'm only going to post this, this, and this, and not all this stuff, because you're trying to brand yourself accordingly. So I think definitely social marketing and branding is a huge key that a lot of photographers are missing. And the ones that are really killing it right now are the ones that are, you know, putting themselves out there. And it was kind of counterintuitive, where people were kind of, oh, you know, I need to be behind the camera, not in front of it. But now a lot of photographers are in the limelight themselves, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're the photographer, it's your company, so you are the brand.
So, absolutely. And I think that that also ties back to taking consistent action, like you mentioned before. When running a photography business, there are so many more things to it than just being behind the camera. I mean, you can be behind the camera all you want, but if you ignore everything else, you won't have a business. And that's a great point about social media. And I know a lot of photographers listening are like, oh, that's one more thing I have to do. But I've seen people batch out their posts, for example, you know, or have a photo shoot. What I like to do, I have a photo shoot and then I'll schedule out the images to go out on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, you know, over time. So it's not like you're spending all day, every day on Facebook or whatever. You know, there are ways to make time for it. And it does give you social proof too, because you're right, people do pay attention to that.
Yeah, and there, I mean, yeah, and there are definitely tools to help out. I mean, I know some people who kind of just make it a part of their process, so eventually it becomes second nature. So a good example is this could be for high end clients or low end clients, but let's just say you're doing a family, and you know, you could put out a snap of, you know, some behind the scenes. And then you tag the family in it. So you say, hey, I just posted this. And then chances are they're going to see that and they post it. And then, you know, all of a sudden you got, just from that one little post, you got like a little bit of action there, because they tell their friends. And then hopefully maybe somebody will go, oh, that was a cool image. Who did that? And then, you know, it comes back to you. So you could just make it a part of your process. And the people who are really good do that. It's just like second nature. They're like, okay, I'm in my photo shoot. Let me start with a Snapchat and or Twitter or whoever it is, and then tag the people who are helping me, because you know, you always have some help, or your subjects or the company or something. Mm-hmm. Whoever you're shooting, unless it's like an animal or a building, and even then, you know, you could tag the place you're at or the building that you're shooting. There's always like something you can tag with social media, so
right.
there's no excuse for not tagging, actually. And you never know, that one time somebody might just go, oh, that was cool, thanks, and they share it, and then boom.
Right, all those little things, they do add up. Absolutely, absolutely.
It's actually like minimal work if you just make it a part of your process early on. It's like, I'm always going to do behind the scene image, boom, and tag whoever I'm shooting or wherever I'm at or whatever your rules are for what you do. Yeah, you'd be surprised at how much activity that creates. And we need to do that ourselves. We're pretty good with paper cuts, but not so good with people, because we're doing all this stuff too, podcast. So it's, yeah, it's difficult, but the results speak for themselves when you consistently do it.
Mm-hmm.
as you said.
Man, well, you know, this has been a really good chat, Jamal. And we're coming towards the end of the episode, which always makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah, this is true. It's actually been fun. I love podcasts.
Yeah. You did a good job, by the way. You know, I just have a couple more questions for you. Is there a particular photography resource, a tool, an online course, a book, or software that you would recommend to our listeners today?
Well, besides ReviewMe, if I have to pick some other tools, that's a good question. I would say, based on, you know, who is reading now, in terms of like personal tools that I use, I'm actually huge into email, because from the tech side. So I like tools like Yesware or MixMax, which basically has like kind of built-in email tracking into it. So whenever you email somebody, you could, it'll show you, like MixMax is a great example. It'll show you like when they read it, and then they'll show you where they were, on what device, and how many times. So like being able to like coordinate around that is huge, to see if somebody read your email, and then you can go, okay, they read it, and they didn't respond, and all. So you can like plan. Now everybody who knows me is like, what? He does that? But that's a huge tool that's definitely is super useful. It's just being, you know, knowing where you are and your communication is huge. And they have other stuff like it automatically will you can set like reminders to follow up with people. So which is huge for photographers, you know, chances are you're doing business development in some way, shape, or form. Reaching out to potential clients. So, you know, you have to keep it going. That first email is not going to seal the deal, most likely. Right. So chances are you have to keep following up, or, you know, that post. So anything that kind of like keeps me going and gives me actions to do next, but in an automated fashion is things that I love. I think Boomerang is kind of another tool that.
Give us the first two names of those email, email helpers that you gave us.
The first one is MixMax.
Okay.
I think I'm actually looking at it right now. Yeah, and I think it's just, you can just like type in MixMax email tool, and I think it'll pop right up into Google or whatever search tool you use. Another one is Yesware. It's more for sales, but it's kind of does some of the same things in terms of email tracking. Both of those are great tools to use for, you know, following up and correspondence and things like that.
Very cool. Very cool. I will make sure to include those in the show notes. And now my final question, but one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
So, you know, definitely going to promote ReviewMe. So make sure to go hit that. And like she said, it's ReVeu.me. Pretty simple. And then obviously PaperCut. So papercutmag.com. And we have social sites for all of those, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And it's just Pinterest as well. It's just /papercutmag/ReviewMe.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, just thank you again, Jamal, for taking time to chat with us and share your photography business knowledge. This was really cool.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And, you know, feel free to hit me up online. Anybody who's listening, if you have any further questions about PaperCut or ReviewMe or any of the tools I mentioned.
Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resourcecenter. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource center.